Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, 6th chapter, 1st verse, and 6th chapter entitled Prahlad Instructs His Demoniac Schoolmates. So, I'll stand. Shri Prahlada Uvacha Kaumara Acharet. Shri Prahlada Prahlada Uvacha. Shri Prahlada Uvacha. Kaumara Acharet Pragyo. Kaumara Acharet Pragyo. Dharman Bhagavatan Iha. Dharman Bhagavatan Iha. Durlabham manusham janma. Durlabham manusham janma. Tadapi adruvam attadam. Tadapi adruvam attadam. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Prahlad Maharaj said, "One who is sufficiently intelligent should use the human form of body from the very beginning of life, in other words, from the tender age of childhood, to practice the activities of devotional service, giving up all other engagements. The human body is most rarely achieved, and although temporary like other bodies, it is meaningful because in human life one can perform devotional service. Even a slight amount of sincere devotional service can give one complete perfection." Purport. The whole purpose of Vedic civilization and of reading the Vedas is to attain the perfect stage of devotional service in the human form of life. According to the Vedic system, therefore, from the very beginning of life, the Brahmacharya system is introduced so that from one's very childhood, from the age of 5 years, one can practice modifying one's human activities as to engage perfectly in devotional service. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 2:40, svalpamapyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. Even a little advancement on this path can protect one from the most dangerous type of fear. Modern civilization, not referring to the verdicts of Vedic literature, is so cruel to the members of human society that instead of teaching children to become brahmacharis, it teaches mothers to kill their children, even in the womb, on the plea of curbing the increase of population. And if by chance a child is saved, he is educated only for sense gratification. Gradually, throughout the entire world, human society is losing interest in the perfection of life. Indeed, men are living like cats and dogs, spoiling the duration of their human lives by actually preparing to transmigrate again to the degraded species among the 8,400,000 forms of life. The Krishna consciousness movement is anxious to serve human society by teaching people to perform devotional service, which can save a human being from being degraded again to animal life. As already stated by Prahlad Maharaj, Bhagavad Dharma consists of Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam. In all the schools, colleges and universities, and at home, all children and youths should be taught to hear about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, they should be taught to hear the instructions of Bhagavad Gita, to put them into practice in their lives, and thus to become strong in devotional service, free from fear of being degraded to animal life. Following Bhagavad Dharma has been made extremely easy in this age of Kali. The Shastra says, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Naeva Kevalam, Kalau Nasti Eva Nasti Eva Nasti Eva Gatir Anyataha. One need only chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Everyone engaged in the practice of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra will be complete, cleansed from the core of his heart and be saved from the cycle of birth and death. Jai. Shri Prahlada Uvacha Kaumaram Acharet Pragyo Dharmam Bhagavatam Iha Durlabham Manusham Janma Tadyapi Adrutvam Attadam. Prahlad Maharaj said, One who is sufficiently intelligent should use the human form of body from the very beginning of life, in other words, from the tender age of childhood, to practice the activities of devotional service, giving up all other engagements. The human body is most rarely achieved, and although temporary like other bodies, it is meaningful because in human life one can perform devotional service. Even a slight amount of sincere devotional service can give one complete perfection. So in this new chapter entitled Prahlad Instruct His Demonic Schoolmates, it is interesting to note how actually Prahlad Maharaj became able, later on as we will see, to convince his demoniac friends. Because as we know, the nature, maybe even having some personal experience, according to the different types of dealings which personalities who have a demoniac nature, it is very difficult to even say something about spiritual life and not making them angry. Like Srila Prabhupada would very often say, give a person a good advice and he would get angry, or to feed a snake with a milk, it makes it even more poisonous. So, and usually basically demonic tendency is not to listen to anyone. Why should I listen to anybody? I'm myself, as it is stated in Bhagavad Gita, Ishwaroham Aham Bhogi. Basically, I'm basically my self-controller. I'm myself the enjoyer. I'm the most strongest. And I want to enjoy in this material world. So the tendency and the basic propensity of the demonic nature is not to hear anybody who wants to give you such kind of good advice, basically means spiritual advice. So it is very interesting how Prahlad Maharaj was able to even to convey, to get through this message, this spiritual message to his demonic school friends. So from this point we can understand here another point that Prahlad Maharaj definitely had a lot of potency, a lot of Shakti, and that he developed good qualities to such extent that the other school friends of his were very much attracted to him and to his qualities. Because otherwise it's not possible to convince somebody to only, like, as we know, by the only like Narad Muni, for example, only Acharyas or Mahajans, and Prahlad Maharaj is one of the Mahajans, have such kind of a potency to convince even the demonic personalities about the value of the spiritual life. Otherwise, it is very difficult. It is almost impossible. So he definitely have been empowered and in this case confirmed his status of Mahajan, or a personality who can convince others about the values of the spiritual life. Another important thing is that it is not enough just to have a particular type of qualities. They are very essential for entering into spiritual life, for developing and advancing actually in the spiritual life. Some kind of a background as such, to have good qualities or have some kind of good healthy upbringing in the beginning of the spiritual life. And this is basically a stepping stone towards a spiritual understanding. We can see that it is not just enough to have any of the qualities, as we can understand through the Shastras. Even the great demoniac personalities have a lot of good qualities, but without, of course, engaging them in Krishna consciousness, they don't have any particular value. But the point is that having a good qualities is a sign of a pious birth. And piety is some kind of a prerequisite, basically, to grasp the spiritual knowledge and the spiritual essence much more easily than even if you don't have such kind of pious activities. Of course, it's not the most essential. Even if a person doesn't have any particular quality, if he gets in touch with the knowledge of bhakti, he can advance spiritually. But even for that kind of person, actually, we will see in the spiritual life, it's very difficult to advance. It's not easy to advance. Because somehow or other, this pious background, this positive upbringing has a lot of to do in a person's life. I have some personal experience dealing with some or associating with some devotees who unfortunately didn't have some such kind of pious upbringing in the Western world. And from the childhood, they were very much, and say even molested or not treated properly, and then basically lived on the streets, and later on in the teenage age end up, you know, dealing with drugs and all these different things. But somehow or other, by coming in touch with Krishna consciousness, they definitely changed their habits and they were able to advance spiritually. But that earlier kind of a way of life, that culture in which they were living, had still a lot of influence in their devotional service. And they even sometimes had a tendency not really to exhibit very good qualities. So, of course, by practice of spiritual life, we know in the course of time that even this is possible to change, very much on the positive side. But unfortunately, in that Kanishta stage, these kind of qualities can become very much manifested and agitated in the whole society. They can agitate everybody in the whole society and create some disturbance. So my point here is that it is not just enough to have some good qualities or not to have good qualities, but actually that particular injection of the bhakti or the spiritual instructions, they're very potent, they're very powerful, that they can transfer a person's life. And we can see here definitely, if we examine Prahlad's appearance, that he was a special spirit soul, that he was very qualified. But although being a qualified, that final touch of spiritual knowledge which was administered to him by Narada Muni made him actually even more realized and more powerful. From Narasimha Purana, we can understand actually how this qualities were obtained, how Prahlad Maharaj in particular appeared in that particular demonic family. As an interesting story, how when Hiranyakashipu was meditating, he wanted to achieve, of course, all material perfections, but Narada Muni and Parashar Muni devised the plan because they already knew what is going to happen in the future. So they took form of the birds and they sat on one tree just next to Hiranyakashipu and start chanting Om Namo Narayanaya Namaha. And they were constantly chanting. And this chanting, of course, agitated Hiranyakashipu to such degree, especially hearing constantly the names of the person who he hates the most, that he became so angry that he broke out from his meditation and austerities and he started shooting arrows at those birds. But at first he wasn't able to chase them, means birds which were actually manifest, those were actually Parashara Muni and Narada Muni, but he wasn't in the beginning able to chase them, but somehow or other, at some point, they flew away. But this impression of mantra, Om Namo Narayanaya Namaha, remained very deeply in Hiranyakashipu's mind. But still he was very agitated, as I said. When demons hear something about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, what to speak of his name, they became very angry, uncontrollably angry. And he wasn't able to perform, to continue with performance of his austerities. And in such kind of a state, what the demons do when they, basically, he continued with his demoniac activities. And in such state of mind, he conceived, basically, the Prahlad Maharaj, thinking constantly also, Om Namo Narayanaya Namaha. So we see that very much it matters a lot, of course, in the beginning, that's the first samskara, to have a proper consciousness in the time of conception. And by this we can understand also what kind of a progeny will appear in the future. So that's very interesting factor. So in this way, Prahlad Maharaj was invoked, a person with very good qualities, person who was a devotee of Vishnu, But as I said, very important, another thing is that instructions which he received from Narada Muni actually made him even more convinced and more powerful and gave him the understanding of the values of spiritual life to such degree that he wasn't at all interested in any of the subjects that were taught later on by Sanda and Amarka. So he didn't have any interest at all for those political and social topics, diplomacy, politics, artha, definitely, of course, those included dharma, artha, kama, and moksha, but not the dharma, not the Sanatan dharma, but just the religious basics on principles. Like even we know, even Ravana followed dharma, but his idea of dharma was the final result was completely different than what we consider to be Sanatan Dharma. So he obtained such a strong faith in the spiritual principles and instructions of Narada Muni gave him a lot of strength and power that he got basically the higher taste. Vishavini Vartante Niraharasya Dehinaharasovarjam Rasopyasya Paramdrishvani Vartante. He got the higher taste to such degree that he wasn't able to be swayed in any way by any materialistic temptations. And in a sense, even more to that degree that he was able, that point that he was himself able not just to be himself convinced, but to convey this message to his demoniac friends and present an authority which such kind of demoniac students would listen. So that's an interesting point, that those demonic friends, you know, when it's a time of a break, when you have to take your lunch break or something, nobody wants, who is interested in you? Hear enough subjects, now you have to listen to something more. Nobody wants to hear that. Everybody just wants to run away. So somehow or other he sparked that higher taste in the minds of his demonic friends, so they were able to listen. So another point is that Prahlad Maharaj, that piety in the beginning which he had, which he was evoked as a person to appear in demonic family, wasn't the final result in that bhakti, but that bhakti was sparked by instructions of Narada Muni. This is very nicely explained by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. He explains that bhakti gives rise to bhakti, not any piety. Piety is not enough. Piety is there, like I said at the beginning, that character, good upbringing, is a very potential ground for developing spiritual knowledge, but it is not enough. Bhakti gives rise to bhakti, basically. Only if it is given by Krishna, Supreme Personality Himself, directly, or by His direct representative, such as is Narada Muni. So this is how Prahlad Maharaj actually achieved that kind of stage, by which he himself was very much convinced of this value of spiritual life and being able to convince his school friends also to practice this type of knowledge. Otherwise it would be very difficult if he himself wouldn't have something to offer in such an age. Who is really interested about anything else and what to speak of spiritual knowledge? So the point of engaging children in the beginning of spiritual life and trying to teach them values from the very beginning, it is very much necessary. As here in the purport and in the translation, Srila Prabhupada also mentions, it is in translation itself, that from the very beginning of life, human life should be, this education should start. Why from the very beginning? Because you understand that children are very innocent. They're not... They can be molded very easily, like a clay. If you have some piece of clay, you can mold it very nicely. You can shape it in whichever way you want. But when that clay gets dry, you know, later on, how can you mold it? If you touch it, it will break. So similarly, in the early childhood, whatever the children are taught, the impressions remain very strong, even for the rest of their lives. And if the person is a little bit of the elderly age, and at that point, if he starts with a devotional service up, I mean, that's great. But still, there are very rare cases, unless they had really, again, some kind of pious upbringing or some kind of connection with some spirituality earlier, again, to evoke this, it's going to be a little easier. But if they didn't have that, then it's very difficult to change their habits. Habits are very strong. So in the early age, this is very easy. And even later on, we have, unfortunately, some examples when some children have been taught Krishna consciousness, but due to influence of the teenage age, maybe sometimes like to experiment with some other things, they very easily get distaste for those kind of things, and they come back again practicing Krishna consciousness. Because, like I said, again, it's a higher taste. And Prahlad Maharaj himself, he didn't have any interest in this dharma, artha, kama, and moksha, because they were just so insignificant, such an insignificant things compared to love of Godhead, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would very much stress throughout the whole Chaitanya Charitamrita. We can understand that these fifth principles of prema, this pancha pumharto mahan, that principle, that fifth principle of final, fifth goal, actually the primary goal, I mean the fifth kind of in the line, if you put it, but primary goal of the human life, to obtain this prema, to obtain the love of Godhead, is the most essential thing in life. So Prahlad Maharaj didn't really have any interest whatsoever in anything else, but just to achieve the higher goal of life, love of Godhead. As though his schoolmates, for example, they only had an interest prayas principle, that means some kind of temporary, immediate enjoyment. They didn't consider the shreyas to be so much important in the beginning. But of course, by the association, as we see, how association is very much important and how it can influence our state of mind and inspire us to practice spiritual life, or even on the contrary, how it can degrade us. So the principle association is very important. And of course, as we know, particularly in this age of Kali, our heart can manifest both things, means both principles, demonic and pious one as well. It is stated in the Puranas that in Satya Yuga, the demons and devotees, they lived on separate planets. That was the kind of arrangement. That in the Treta Yuga, they lived in different countries. And then in Dwapara Yuga, they lived in, like in Treta Yuga, for example, Ravana and Lord Ramachandra, they had whole different countries. Everybody lived separately. And then in Kali Yuga, they lived in different cities. Jarasandha has his own, Krishna has his own, and even Rukmi, when we were talking the other day about Rukmini and Kundilyapur, when he didn't get along with everybody and he just didn't succeed in his demonic ideas, then he went and established his own city on his own, which was demonic city. But in Kali Yuga, it is explained in the Puranas that demonic and the godly pious propensity will remain in our heart simultaneously. Both will be present there. And now, of course, we know that analogy, we heard it a lot of time, which dog you feed, that one will, which one you to which one you give more importance, that one will prevail and actually dominate more. So it depends on our own propensity, what we want to achieve in this particular life, whether we want to develop more these godly qualities or we want to develop demonic qualities. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, definitely his appearance signified and he expressed actually this point that even if the point was made to him that he can't, when he got angry on Jagan Madai, that Nityananda Prabhu told him, but what is the point? Or Haridas Thakur, I'm not sure which one is it. Nityananda Prabhu or Haridas Thakur told him that he would have to kill everybody on this planet if he would want to kill all the demons, because everybody has this demonic mentality. But in Kali Yuga, actually, the point is to kill, not to kill the person as a person, but to kill that demoniac mentality by chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So the principle of education is very important in this age, to educate the children properly, as I said, from the very beginning. Why from the very beginning it is stressed here? Because I said children have this propensity really to learn and grasp, and it remains the very deep impression throughout their whole lives. If you feed children nowadays as they are fed through the different kind of medias, with all the violence, with so many horrible informations, with so many different, you know, visual effects, that's going to create chaos, which we are having nowadays in the society. And it's factually going on, hopefully not so much as you have, I mean, some devotees who are, have been abroad, I mean, or living abroad, they have that experience, how horrible really there it is. Not so much, as I say, here in India, but it's growing, it's getting worse and worse. How that mentality against which Arjuna rebelled, this was one of his arguments. He said to Krishna, Dharma Bibhavat Krishna Pradushanti Kulastriya Sri Shudusta Suvarshnya Jayate Varna Shankara. He said, if I kill all the elders who are basically the leaders of the society and who are guiding the society, then who will guide the children? If the women become polluted by the misscrupulous man, basically, and if that deviation happens, that Varna Shankara will appear in the society, and this is going to ruin the whole society. So there's a very good argument. Of course, Krishna defeated that by explaining him that you yourself have to set up the example first, and then this degradation won't happen. But that argument is very powerful, because nowadays, due to that wrong demonic upbringing, the children are fed up completely with all these demonic ideas. And when they grow up, of course, what they're going to do? A lot of crime. And if they don't get a lot of nourishment, a lot of care, they definitely feel insecure and have that criminal tendency. And therefore we see that there is a complete chaos in the society. In one conversation, Dr. Patel and Srila Prabhupada, they were conversing about the meaning of this particular type of education. Dr. Patel mentioned that they're killing their teachers in the West. That is education. And Srila Prabhupada commented, what kind of education is this? Killing your teacher. So that is not education. And these cases are definitely going on. It is the there are so many cases. I mean, if you want to make some research or statistic, there are so many shooting cases going all around the Western world. And I myself have some experience. I had a professor from physics who wasn't liked by some students, and they almost beat him to death. He had to have a plastic jaw afterwards. That was some 15 years back. What to speak nowadays, what's going on? I don't know. I mean, I have to check. Better not. I mean, definitely nothing really good. So this horrible thing, things are happening, and there is not definitely any respect, what to speak, towards those who are trying to give us some kind of education. But definitely, as we see here from the Prahlad Maharaj's example, he didn't really like that kind of education, which actually, after all, indicated that there is that fight for overlording, that demonic principle, politics, how to cheat each other, you know, how to dominate each other. So that's what it's essentially there in the beginning itself. So Prahlad Maharaj really didn't like that idea and didn't want to engage in all these kind of instructions which he received from Sandayana Marka. Because education, modern education, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur have stated, it actually brings us further down into the illusion. It is the extension of Maya's illusory potency, and we lose the whole principle and value of the spiritual life. So that type of education, definitely it's not favorable, not even materially, what to speak from the spiritual point of view. But it is interesting how that's what I noticed here in India when I was in Tamil Nadu. You will find that they have opened schools, even for the children, which had only 2 years. There is a school. One devotee, he's sending his child, his son. So the school, there is such a huge pressure in the society for such kind of education. Of course, the other principle is we know it's a good business. Send your children and, you know, you have to pay for all these tuitions. So it's not really point of educating them, giving them some valuable things, but it's just a business. And nowadays, basically, what education means, it means just knowledge and skills, but there are no values. If you're able to memorize something, that's great. If you develop some kind of skills by applying this knowledge, that's also great. But what are the values behind? There are hardly any values behind. And this is what makes this Varna Shankara more and more prominent. And then you're being indoctrinated in such a way, you're completely, many times, even we know, because of such pressure and competitive spirit, the students just lose control. They're just very prone to commit suicides, and which we know here in India are very much on the rise because of that. Just excel. When I was in Bangalore, I just read one paper. There are so many advertisements about this particular type of education. Call this number and we'll make sure that your children excels, that he will be the best among whatever. So many such kind of advertisements. I mean, this is horrible. It's really a demonic principle. So we see that Prahlad Maharaj, by mercy of getting the spiritual knowledge, wasn't at all interested in this kind of material education, because he got immediately the higher taste. And he was, when he was faced with such kind of information, such kind of material education, he just didn't have any interest definitely about it. He just didn't see any sense of it. I myself, in my personal life, somehow or other, been, I can say, fortunate to come quite early in touch with spiritual knowledge. But still, since I was attached, I had some material desires. I still decided to go to college to try it out. But somehow or other, I read already Bhagavatam, I read Chaitanya Charitamrita. But when I came to college, I was there just for 2 weeks, then I dropped out. But when I heard basically those presentations of the professors, I mean, everything seems so dry and unmeaningful. And I'm not encouraging, I mean, don't misunderstand me, that everybody has to do this or this is the best thing. I'm just trying to say that from my point of view, already having some kind of knowledge and then getting further in touch with such kind of materialistic informations and instructions, I mean, I just didn't have a taste. I just couldn't conceive how could I, next 4 years or even more, how could I spend so much time and energy going through something that really didn't interest me at all, that was very contrary to the principles that and values that I got by reading Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita. Of course, that was the turning point in my life when I decided to join the ashram for full time. So similarly, Prahlad Maharaj already received that spiritual knowledge, and definitely he didn't see any interest, and he wanted, and he understood the whole benefits and values of the spiritual knowledge, and he wanted to convey them to his friends. Because we know that is the nature of a Vaishnava. When he gets something good, when he gets something great, he's paradukha dukhi and sarva sukha sukhi. How's that going? Something like that. Sarva sukha sukhi, right? That is the one. When he's happy, he wants to share that happiness towards the others. And of course, later on, he exhibited these symptoms when he was asked for benediction. He was also paradukha dukhi. He didn't want it for himself. He wanted to Lord Nisimhadev to bless all the other people, all the other basically population of this universe, to not to suffer. He was very compassionate towards them. He couldn't see them suffering. And this is actually the highest education. This is what Chanakya Pandit said, that the highest form of education is to see every woman as your mother, to see other belongings at the garbage on the street. And when you see others suffering, that you understand actually from your point of view how this is also basically something that is not so wonderful, such a wonderful thing. So Prahlad Maharaj exhibited those kind of qualities, and therefore when he achieved that kind of happiness, that kind of realization, he wanted to share this with others. And it's just from material point of view, this is the same principle. Once you have something great, if you enjoy it yourself, it's not so such a wonderful thing, isn't it? After all, this knowledge which we are getting doesn't belong to us. We have to share it. We have to pass it on. But still, even if you enjoy something, when we share it with others, our enjoyment expands. Or even if we are in distress, if we share such kind of a distress, our distress is minimized. So that kind of sharing and association somehow or other helps a lot. But of course, Prahlad Maharaj, not just from that point, he didn't want to enjoy himself even more. That wasn't his intention. But his intention was to enlighten his demoniac school friends immediately from the beginning. Whatever kind of, because that was a very good opportunity. Later on, when they get under influence of their parents, it's very difficult again. I have again another kind of experience, like you can be mauled in the beginning due to particular association of a social pressure. My personal realization was I didn't like so much meat whatsoever when I was a kid, but I was forced by parents. Just, you know, what's wrong with you? I was forced to take it. And then later on, you know, you're just modeled in that particular way and you just go on. Luckily, when I get in touch again, I was just quickly, I didn't have any troubles, you know, coming back to that original kind of different taste. we may call it higher taste. So that modeling in the beginning is very easy. So Prahlad Maharaj immediately knew. So he said from the beginning, acharet, kaumaram acharet pragyo. From the beginning, from very beginning, that's the very essential point. Because again, another thing is, if we think we're going to do it later on, well, it might not happen. Any moment, padam padam yad vipadam natesham, any moment we can leave this body. So why wait? And as I said, it's very hard to change the habits. It's very hard to get really into deeply in the spiritual life once we had particular life setup. It's not easy. And human form of life, the emphasis is given here, it's very, very valuable. It's very rare. And although temporary, it has a very, very important value. I have experience of some of my friends. I'm sure you have this also. I've heard that story of a boy who was just about graduate, and then he went for a partying instead of coming to temple or something, and he got a heart attack. So these things happen also here. But in the West, those things are even a little more prominent. I have a couple of my friends when I was in a high school studying engineering. One drowned in the lake. Another one had crashed with a motorbike into some pillar, and there was a curve, and he just went straight. He couldn't control. He was speeding too much. Another one got shot in a disco club in front of his brothers and friends. I mean, that was a horrible thing. At such a young age, things happen. So who knows? Who can guarantee that we're going to achieve this perfection and value of the human life? Yes, we have a freedom. We've given freedom in this human life. We can decide. We can do so many things. But of course, we have the responsibilities. And to impart them from the early childhood is very important. Unless we do that, then really, human form of life, it's wasted. Srila Prabhupada gives an analogy. This is like free animals in the forest, flying around or jumping around. But if they become careless about their freedom, then they will be caught by a hunter. So similarly, hunter would represent the death. And if we are not careless about our freedom and human life, it doesn't mean that we're eternally going to be free and do whatever we want. Of course, it doesn't work from the knowledge we get from Bhagavad Gita. For every reaction, there is an equal and opposite reaction. So it doesn't happen. So we have to be very careful that from the beginning we understand the value of this human form of life. Otherwise, we might not get another chance. And Srila Prabhupada many times emphasized the rarity of this human form. There are so many species, and there are 400,000 of different human forms. And the intelligent one, which is mentioned here, one who is sufficiently intelligent, and that's very rare, sufficiently intelligent to understand. And especially here in India, you have got such wonderful opportunity being born in Janma, I mean in Bharat Bhumi, which on every step, basically, the atmosphere in the mood is so spiritually charged that it's very difficult to forget Krishna, even if you want to do some sinful activities. It's very difficult because Krishna is everywhere. So many things remind of him. So it's a bad business, actually. Once Kadambakaran Maharaj was interesting, gave interesting analogy. He said that Indians nowadays have become bad businessmen. Why? Because they're investing. They have so much credit. They have so much capital, but they're investing in wrong things. And they're not actually even investing. Even they have. Sometimes they don't invest. And that's the difference between Brahman and Kripana. Kripana, if he has some valuable thing, if he's, if somebody's a beggar and gets a lot of money and just keeps it aside, enjoys it and doesn't spend it, that's a Kripana. What's the use of it? It's just wasted. Whereas Brahmana knows how to utilize the things. Brahmana has got an intelligence and he knows how to utilize it. He doesn't misuse it. He doesn't waste it. That's the difference between Brahmana and Kripana. So nowadays people have been given this wonderful opportunity of, you know, hearing about Krishna, having Krishna everywhere around, but they don't utilize it properly. They're misusing it. And this is bad business. But what a good businessman does, he has a good pious credit. Of course, in our sense, from the other point of the analogy, if a person has a good pious credit, he invests more. He advances more in the spiritual life. Spiritual life is not stagnant. It can't be stagnant. It's a very dynamic thing. Either you fall down, either you grow up. Of course, we know nothing is lost. Like here it's mentioned in the purport, Srila Prabhupada said, "Svalpam apyasya dharmasya trate mahato bayat." There is no lose or diminution on this path. Even a little advancement can save a person from the most dangerous type of fear. So something will still be there, but definitely we have to progress, we have to make endeavor. Who wants to take birth again and go through all these different sufferings? Like Jadvaita Maharaj would said, old age, I mean, birth, disease, what is it? Janma Mrityu Jara Vyadi. Yeah, birth, disease, old age, and he would say new age. There are five things. He was joking like that. I mean, who wants to go through all of these things again? No, if we have enough experience of the sufferings in this material world, why should we repeat? And especially, who knows what kind of form? As Srila Prabhupada was emphasizing here, human form is very rare. And who can guarantee our blissful and happy next type of existence if we misuse this human form of life, if we misuse this opportunity and not achieve self-realization? So it's very rare, it's very valuable. So we have to know what is the goal of life, and for this we need a proper education. Nowadays education means, you know, developing shudras. And that means creating shudras. This is what means education, technology. That's shudra kind of education, basically. But Prabhupada's mission is that it is said here in the end of the purport, Prabhupada's mission was to teach this Krishna consciousness. He said, in all the schools, colleges, and universities, at home, all children and youth should be taught to hear about Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, they should be taught to hear instructions of Bhagavad Gita and put them into practice in their life. And that was the mission of Hare Krishna movement, basically. When Prabhupada came to the West, he said, I want to create brahmanas. I want to give this knowledge. I want to create the brahmanas. This was the mission. This was the essence. And temples were meant as a shelters which would give association to the people to create such kind of brahminical qualities and shelter from, of course, from the influence of this materialistic education or maya. So Prabhupada's idea was to create brahmanas, and this kind of knowledge should be imparted from the beginning, not any time later. Even later, as I said, if somebody slips up a little bit, I mean, in whichever way, again, there is no loss in diminution. There is no loss. There is no harm. Narad Muni said, what is the use if somebody perfectly practices Dharma, but he, you know, it's not becoming Krishna consciousness? So, but still, if somebody is Krishna consciousness, and even if it falls down at some point, there is no loss. But still, if somebody advances further, then he is utilizing properly his human form of life. Otherwise, he becomes a Kripana, and he's wasting completely all his valuable opportunities. So I would stop here if there is maybe any questions, last few minutes, or comments. Okay, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.